Once he afforded his descendants, that is the Prophet Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's descendant and his companion, Sahaba Ikram, radiallahu ta'ala, who are the stars of guidance and propagators of the Quran. And also upon those believers. Last week we discussed what point about Hazrat Wahshi radiallahu ta'ala, how he was responsible for the martyrdom of Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala, concerning Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala, uncle of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, on the day of judgment, the martyrs, the shuhada, will be coming to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some saying that I gave my hand in your way. Some saying I gave my head in your way. Some would say I gave my leg in your way. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated, Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu, his parts of his body will be floating and will be joining together and say that I gave it each piece of my body for your way. Because the end result was, Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu, his body was mutilated and inhumanly treated. But Allah Azza wa Jal, to whomsoever he gives hidayat, we cannot stop. Those very people who mutilated his body, Allah Rabbul Izzat granted this hidayat. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in his mercy, sent as a mercy to mankind, accepted them. And once he has accepted them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with them. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that means he's making dua for them. Make dua for them, and they are the companions of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we have seen and explained as last week how Hazrat Wahshi radiallahu ta'ala was responsible for the martyrdom of uncle of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala. And when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could not see him come front, in the time of Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, when there was problems from all directions, one side Hazrat Usaba radiallahu ta'ala, a young person was nominated by Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to lead an expedition. And certain ones objected and said, no, that Hazrat Usama is young. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, no, that he must go. On one side, people did not want to send their zakat to the central government. On one side, Musalma ibn Qazzab began to say that he is a prophet and he is being divinely appointed. And on one side, the Romans and the Persians were deciding to rise against Islam. And Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu said that if he is left alone, or if the women folk are left alone too in Medina, but he will not stop all these expeditions for the protection of Islam and for the upliftment of Islam. Those were Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhu, fully trained by Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the time of Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when this imposture rose, that Musalma ibn Qazzab was saying that he is the Nabi, a battle ensued. Hazrat Wahshi radiallahu ta'ala anhu, because he was an expert javelin thrower, and he knew how to throw that javelin, that spear, in a very special and particular way. And many did not know that Hazrat Wahshi radiallahu ta'ala anhu is fighting also against Musalma. Musalma ibn Qazzab, Musalma the liar, was slain by Hazrat Wahshi radiallahu ta'ala anhu. When Hazrat Wahshi radiallahu ta'ala anhu threw the spear, threw the javelin, and he pierced Musalma, then the people just said that there is only one person who can throw a javelin like that. Hazrat Wahshi radiallahu ta'ala anhu must be amongst our midst. He must be fighting, and he must have thrown that particular javelin, that particular spear, and his style was the same one that he used for Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So, can you imagine now that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came in a dream of Hazrat Wahshi radiallahu ta'ala and said that, oh Wahshi, I'm pleased with you. I'm pleased with Hazrat Washi radiallahu ta'ala stated that today he feels at ease that on the day of judgment he'll be facing Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will say that you can come in. What we are trying to show here, and what we are trying to prove here, is that in our own lives, that we have also got what we call behavior patterns. Sometimes we become regular in salah. Then we want to read Quran. Then you want to make dhikr. Then you want to be amongst the pious. Then you want to be amongst the good people. Then you want to do good deeds. Then you want to say that you are a good Muslim. You want to conform to the Sharia. You have to bring the Sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam in our lives. Then all of a sudden what happens, that due to some satanic forces working against us, due to shaitan misleading us, then we fall flat. Then we don't want to go near the masjid. Then we do not want to come near good action. Then we do not want to read Quran. Then we do not want to make zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then we do not want to do anything. And mostly what happens to us, that in our youth, in our young age, that we tend not to practice a policy. Here, what is being displayed and shown to us is, look, that Islam provides us with an opportunity to reform, to become better, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be pleased with us. We too, we should do the same, very same thing. We are not born saints. We are not born that we become absolutely pious and righteous. But inshallah, if we make an effort, we can become righteous and pious. So we should take a lesson that we may have done wrong, we may have sinned, we may have made major sins, but our repentance, our crying before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and our seeking forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should be of such a nature that the sin should go away far, very far. Then we should reform and change and say that, listen, I've done so much wrong, I must do so much good that the wrong must look very little in front of the good that I'm doing. This is what we are learning from the Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala in the story about Hazrat Washi radiallahu ta'ala. And similarly with all the other Sahaba. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us understanding to understand how Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala and Ba'id behaved and why they behaved in that way. Inshallah, we will continue and I will show you how Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu experienced these two phases also. How Hazrat Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu ta'ala anhu also experienced these two phases. And Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhu and Ba'id, if we look at their lives, we'll be able to say that we also, alhamdulillah, due to the praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you and I are born in Muslim homes, most of us. And then we should take advantage, full advantage of this. That alhamdulillah, from the world go, we are getting good, we are getting rewards for our good actions and our good deeds. And then due to some reason we do not behave well, we should now reform, we should change and bring a revolution in our lives, bring a renaissance in our lives. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will definitely accept. Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha says in one hadith that if a person has got so much sin that is equal to the foams in the ocean or the pebbles in the desert, and he seeks forgiveness, Allah will forgive. That's how merciful Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives. So we should not be despondent. We should not feel I am a great sinner, or I cannot be pardoned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This should not cross our mind. We should not think of this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive us and elevate our status, provided that we make sincere repentance. InshaAllah, time comes, I will explain to you what is sincere repentance. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillah, our eighth lesson concerning Surah Fatiha. Last week we discussed some of the names given to Surah Fatiha, and we had stopped at one name as stated in the hadith of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and Allama Qurtubi Rahmatullahi Alayhi records this name, and he says that the Quran is called Ash-Shifa or Shafia. Basically, man is composed of two things, the body and the soul. And both these two require food for existence, survival, nourishment, progress, stability, and all those things. A person has got a body. Body we see, we feel, we experience, we know about our body more than our soul. And Sharia of Islam has showed us via Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam what the body requires and what the soul requires. You and I know that if we eat clean food, pure food, halal food, that's the most important food. Halal food, then the body will be able to go in the right direction. And if you consume alcohol, take drugs, do the wrong things, eat wrong, eat what Sharia does not want you to eat, and eat the haram things, then the body will react in the wrong direction. You will let alone have bodily ailments and sicknesses, you will have also the body going in the wrong direction. You consume alcohol, drugs and haram things, automatically the body will go towards the gambling den, automatically the body will go towards those places which Islam does not want the Muslim to go. Shariat of Islam has blessed us with the way and told us that the soul also requires food just as the body. For spiritual progress and for spiritual enlightenment and for spiritual elevation, the soul also requires food, nourishment. And what is required? First of all, as I told you, that halal food will also influence the soul. That zikr, namaz, giving of zakat, every good action, tilawat of Quran, remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the darkness of the night, crying before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, every action which Shariat has prescribed will enlighten the soul, will spiritually elevate and boost the soul. Contrary to that, if you do the wrong things, if you do not do what Shariat wants you to do, then the soul will retrogress and will not progress. The soul and the body are interlinked. Good food you give, halal food to the body, the soul will behave well. If you give haram food to the body, the soul will not behave well. If you feed the soul with the wrong thing, the body won't behave well. If you feed the soul with the right thing, the body will go in the right direction. The Quran al-Kareem is a shafi. It is a cure. And it is a cure for bodily ailments and for spiritual ailments. Physical ailments and for the soul. So that is why, alhamdulillah, in every ayat, in the verses of the Quran al-Kareem, you will find that the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us what to do with our body, with our soul, so that we can be successful and please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Many kitabs have been written, for example, Taweez kitabs, that from this Quranic ayat, if you do this, then inshallah this will happen and this will happen. For bodily ailments, and also for spiritual ailments. The person is angry, if he reads this, his anger will cool down. From the Quranic ayat. One lady came to Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Thalvi Rahmatullah Alayhi and stated that she has got long hair, but she cannot take a path with the hair. Whenever she tries to make a path with the hair, she fails to do that. She told Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Thalvi Rahmatullah Alayhi that she must prescribe something so that her path must come. So Maulana Ashraf Ali Thalvi Rahmatullah Alayhi said that now when you're combing your hair, you must read Ihdina Sirat al Mustaqim. Allah guide me on the right path. Guide me on the right path. She did that, and alhamdulillah, the path of the hair also was made right. She only deduced this word path from Sirat al-Mustaqim to the path of the hair. From this ayah, you can see that it is a spiritual path, it is a path for everything, for good deeds. Many have written, for example, Maulana Ashraf Ali Thalvi Rahmatullah has written a whole kitab called Amal al-Quran, in which he has put verses down for various ailments, sicknesses, spiritual and bodily, physical and for the soul, and how it was used. Remember about Taweez also, you get the people who are on the right and the people who are on the wrong. The people who are trying to fool the people and the people who are definitely trying to help the people. Inshallah, when it comes, I will explain to you in detail about Taweez's, the condition, and who should write it, when it should be written, and who you should go to. Taweez is not shirk in Islam, according to some scholars who say so. That is a wrong shirk. Another name for Surah Al-Fatiha is given Kafiya or Wafiya, meaning it is sufficient, it is enough, and it is full of barakat and blessings. Every Quranic ayat is full of barakat, is full of blessings, is full of boons and favors from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is sufficient for us. Sufficient in the sense that the Quranic ayat will show us what to do. When we say the Quran is sufficient, we do not mean that we do not require a hadith of Rasulullah ﷺ, or we do not require the fuqaha. Some people say, no, only the Quran al-Kareem. And they are called the Ahl al-Quran. They only believe in the Quran al-Kareem and nothing else. They say everything else is purist. Is skeptical about everything else, and they say everything else can be fabricated, etc., and is not to be relied upon and not authentic. So, we say, no, the Quran al-Kareem will display to us, will show us the principle. For example, the Quran al-Kareem says that Aqimu Salah, perform Salah. The Ahadith will show us, the pattern of Rasulullah will show us how we must do this. Another name for Surah Al-Fatiha is the Surah Al-Salah. That in every Salat, we read Surah Al-Fatiha. In every Salat, whether it is wajib, whether it is farz, whether it is nafil, that we read Surah Al-Fatiha. Whether it is the Imam, he has to also read Surah Al-Fatiha. In Jamaat, however, we do not, as followers, we do not read the behind the Imam. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in the Quran, وَإِذَا قُرِيَتُ الْقُرْآنَ فَاسْتَمِعُوا لَهُ وَانْصِتُوا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. Then when the Quran Kareem is being recited, then you should pay attention to what is being recited, and you should keep silent. Perhaps Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be merciful to you. This is what the Quran Kareem says about listening to the Quran. And that is why we say that this khatam of Quran, that if everybody is reading aloud, then who is doing the reading and who is doing the listening? Because here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying clearly that when the Quran is being read, keep quiet, listen attentively. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will have mercy. So when the Imam is reading, alhamdulillah, we keep quiet and we listen to what the Imam is saying. And when we are reading alone, then alhamdulillah, we read Surah Al-Fatiha, because Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that La salata illa bi fatihat al-kitab. That there is no salat except with Surah Fatiha. And Surah Fatiha is wajib in salat. And remember, Surah Fatiha is wajib in salat, and you have to add three other ayats to it. And these three other ayats, together with Surah Fatiha, will make the first qiraat of the salat. So, alhamdulillah, we listen to the Imam when he is reading, and when we are reading alone, then we read the Surah Fatiha. And because we read Surah Fatiha in every salat, in every namaz, in every rakat, that's why it is called the Suratul Salat. Now concerning Suratul Fatiha as a whole, Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala says in the hadith in Muslim Sharif that Surah Fatiha is divided basically into two parts. Half for Allah and half for His bondsmen. Meaning the three ayats, completely three ayats for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, three ayats for His bondsmen, that's us, alhamdulillah, and the middle ayat, because Surah Fatiha has got seven ayats, three for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, three for His bondsmen, and the middle ayat, half for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and half for us. Inshallah, when we are doing this in detail, I will explain to you which ayats contain direct to do with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's the hub, that we praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Maliki Yawmi Deen. And then the other half ayat for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the subsequent ayat, we are pleading before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He was grant us ihdina siratal mustaqim. And here again, a point, just in case I forget, that the dua is made, and the dua is made for the most important thing in our lives, that is hidayah. Dua is not made for wealth, property, dignity, status, position. Dua is not made for material, monetary things. Dua is not made for anything. But the dua is made for hidayah. And the effort for hidayah has to be deduced from this also. That if the most important surah has got the dua for hidayah, that means the effort for hidayah is also important and essential for us to make. Individually, collectively, from the platform, private, public, writing, speaking, everywhere, the effort for Hidayat was today. And basically Mufti Shafi'i Rahmatullah Alayhi says, a person can be misled in two ways. Was listen to this. A person can be misled in two ways. One is that he has not made proper research. He has not gone down bottom to the masala. And because of lack of knowledge, because he is ignorant, because he does not know, because he does not bother to come to know, because he's making no effort to come to know, because when the opportunity is there to learn, he is not prepared to learn, then he is bound to go astray. And he is bound to go astray. And here, one of all need applies. The misled ones. Because the misled ones, one of all need, those people in this category are those people who do not want to make research, who do not want to come to know, who do not intentionally want to come to know also. And we can classify them as ignoramuses, as the ignorant ones, as those who do not have got no interest in Islam, no interest in coming to know. And then they, when the situation arises, they say, I do not know, I did not know, and why is the masala so? Then the second method is the person has made the research, but he does not want to practice it. He knows that I must do this, but he does not want to practice it. He knows Salat is first, he don't want to practice it. He knows that I have to give Zakat, he don't want to practice it. He knows that I must go for Hajj, I've got stacks of money, he don't want to do it. He knows that I must give Zakat, I've got loads of money, he don't want to do it. He knows that I must be good to the orphans and I must be charitable, he does not want to. He knows that I must be good to my parents and I must be affectionate towards the younger one, he does not want. He knows that he must keep a beard, he don't want to keep a beard. He knows he must conform to Sharia, he does not want to do it. Yes, maghdubi alayhi applies. Those who are on the wrong, and those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's wrath and anger has descended upon. Why? Because they know and they do not want it. They fully well understand that this is the right path to follow and they do not want to do it. They fully understand that we must do these actions, but they do not want to do it. So, when the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes, the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes, and we are brave, we are caught in that anger and we are punished for that. Then Alhamdulillah, we can start with A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitanir Rajeem. Here, recitation of A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitanir Rajeem, it is sunnah to read it. And according to Hadrat Atta, Ramtullah Ali, it is wajib to read it. One basic masala, that when you read Quran al-Kareem, when you start reading Quran al-Kareem, then you must say, A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitanir Rajeem, then you must read. Now most, what they do, they will say, when you open the Quran, they say, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, and they start reading. Whereas Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is instructing us, وَإِذَا قَرَأْتَ الْقُرَانِ فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. Then when you read the Quran, when you begin to read the Quran, then seek refuge in Allah from the accursed shaitan. Yeah, the clear cut ayat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that we must read A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitanir Rajeem when we start reading the Quran. So we should read A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitanir Rajeem, then read the Quran. To read Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim and then start reading the Quran is not sufficient. Now what happens? Sometimes that you are in the home, you are reading the Quran. You read the Quran, you start A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitanir Rajeem and you carry on reading the Quran. Then someone talks to you. Then you reply. And then you start reading the Quran al-Kareem again. This is wrong. If you read the Quran al-Kareem, you have started by recitation of A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitanir Rajeem, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, and you carried on. Someone spoke to you. Now when you're going back to the Quran, then you must read A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitanir Rajeem again and start the Quran al-Kareem. Because you have spoken human talk. You have broke the contract, you have broke the link, therefore you must start afresh now. Why you must read A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitanir Rajeem? Because you must remember that Shaitan is Aduul Mubeen. He's our open enemy. According to the Quran al-Kareem, according to Islam, he's our open enemy and he wants to mislead us all the time. And he will try maximum to mislead us. Whenever he can, he will try to mislead us. So, first of all, that we will seek protection from him in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We say, Allah, keep us away from the evil of shaitan. Ya Allah, keep us away from the evil plots of the shaitan. Ya Allah, keep us away from the evil cobweb of the shaitan. Ya Allah, turn our mind away from shaitan. Ya Allah, turn our attention away from shaitan. Why? Because we are reading the final book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are reading the book of guidance. We are reading the book of hidayat. We are reading the book that is to teach us how to behave. We are reading the book of morals. We are reading the book that is going to elevate us. We are reading the book that is going to take us away from shaitan and inshallah lead Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So shaitan is after us, shaitan is behind us, shaitan is constantly attacking us. That is why our first move is that we say, A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim, away with the shaitan and we go towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Ya Allah, I'm reading Quran al-Kareem. Ya Allah, let not shaitan influence my mind. Ya Allah, let my mind be open, let my heart be open for the spiritual benefit and the spiritual moods of the Quran al-Kareem and the spiritual guidance which the Quran al-Kareem has got to offer for me. Ya Allah, allow me to take benefit from that. So that is why we say, A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. And then we say, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, solely entering into the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Away from shaitan, into the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why we say A'udhu Billah first, then Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim second. Then we go away from shaitan into the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, into the divine mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now this move, that you go away from shaitan and you go towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is an usul in Sharia. And become an usul in Sharia, which I will elaborate next year week, but I will mention it here. What we call removal of danger, removal of difficulty is given preference over obtaining benefit. Removal of a difficulty is given preference over getting benefit. One example to bring the mind closer. To understand a principle is very easy and very good to present an example. See, you are making namaz and you are making namaz in an open field. And while in namaz, there is a well nearby. And the well is not covered. While in namaz, you see a person walking and he's going to fall into that well. Now what must you do? Read namaz or stop that person? Read namaz and get benefit or stop that person? Read namaz and get sawab and stop that person from falling into the well. Read namaz or stop that person? So Shariat of Islam tells us under this principle here, deduce that why we read A'udhu Billah first, then Bismillah, then you must now terminate your namaz and go and hold that person and tell him that there is a well, they don't fall into that well. Why? The principle, removal of difficulty, removal of that person's difficulty is given preference over getting benefits, your own benefits. So Shariat of Islam is stressing on this, that to remove the difficult, it is given preference over getting benefits. Give you another namaz. Then the person who is very hungry and is about to die and is fasting, then what must he do? Must he keep the fast to get the sawab or eat food? We'll say no, he must eat food. Why? Because when he eats food, then he'll be removing the difficulty and he'll be removing the problem that he is in. Although he'll be losing the sawab, but he will be removing the difficulty. And as a whole, because he will eat due to the fact that he is hungry or thirsty, then inshallah he will get sawab for that also. Now for example, a woman is giving birth. And she is giving birth and there is a big question mark now. The doctor says that if she gives birth, maybe the child will survive, but she definitely will not survive. Then what you will do? The doctor will say immediately, see, that she can give birth, but the child may survive, and the woman, she got no chance to survive. So removal of difficulty, instead of getting the benefit, you will say, no, maintain the woman. That she must survive, because the difficulty from her must be removed, she must survive, she is alive, and she maintain her life. And the life to come, or the life that is supposed to come by the child, which is probable, we will not say that we will save that one. Another thing,
And here is where also the, for example, the Tabligh Jamaat lays stress on. And so I will continue from here, that how and why the Tabligh Jamaat used this principle and why it is used correctly. That to remove the difficulty which is superior than getting the benefit. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to be steadfast. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to perform a salat and jamaat.